evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Wednesday, May 28, 2014. The UN Security Council votes to shift the mandate of the United Nations mission in South Sudan from peace building to protecting civilians from violence.
Pending such time as there will be a political settlement, and then of course we'll have to think on the basis of that settlement what will be the longer term tasks that will need to be redefined.
And members of South Sudan Democratic Forum join the opposition SPLMDC. Is this a merger or defections?
Our ideas and objective will not die there. We'll work as a team. We'll target the needed urgent thing for the people of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The UN Security Council voted unanimously yesterday to refocus the UN peacekeeping mission in South Sudan to concentrate primarily on protecting civilians from intercommunal violence. At the United Nations, VOA's Margaret Bashir says the council also warned those obstructing peace and reconciliation that they could face international sanctions.
UNMISS, as the mission is known, was created in 2011 to help the world's newest country achieve peace and support longer-term development. But with the outbreak of violence last December, the mission has had to turn all of its attention to protecting civilians. Now the mission officially will move away from peace-building activities to protecting civilians, aiding the delivery of humanitarian assistance, monitoring human rights, and preventing renewed violence. UN Peacekeeping Chief Hervé Letsous told VOA the new mandate formalizes activities that the peacekeepers have been trying to carry out since the crisis erupted.
We've been doing that since early this year, and so it's confirmation that these are the priorities, pending such time as there will be a political settlement. And then, of course, we'll have to think on the basis of that settlement what will be the longer-term tasks that will need to be redefined.
In December, the UN Security Council increased UNMISS troop strength from about 7,000 to more than 12,000. Not all have arrived yet. The surge will include about 2,500 peacekeepers who will protect ceasefire monitors in South Sudan. The resolution adopted Tuesday expresses support for ceasefire agreements signed in January and earlier this month, and calls for their immediate and full implementation. The Security Council also vowed to consider all appropriate measures against parties who undermine peace and security, a reference to the possible imposition of sanctions. South Sudan's Ambassador Francis Madang Dang told the Council his government is disappointed that UN assistance for strengthening government capacities is no longer a part of the mandate, and hopes it will be included when the mandate comes up for an extension in November.
The objective of capacity building is to help create a state that is capable, responsible, and responsive, not a state that is oppressive. Failure to help build a functioning state could lead to serious problems which the United Nations and the international community might be later called upon to help address.
The situation in South Sudan remains tense, with sporadic violations to the ceasefire between forces loyal to President Salva Kiir and his former Vice President Riek Machar. The United Nations says the violence has displaced more than 1.3 million people. Many have fled to neighboring countries, and about 80,000 are sheltering at UN bases across South Sudan that are not equipped to handle such large numbers of people. Now that the rainy season has begun, the UN's Department of Humanitarian Affairs says it has recorded nearly 600 cases of the waterborne disease cholera in the capital, Juba. 22 people have died. A vaccination program is underway. At a donors' conference in Oslo, Norway last week, donors pledged more than $600 million out of the nearly $2 billion needed to fund the humanitarian response through the end of this year. The UN warns that 4 million people face severe food insecurity because of the fighting and their inability to plant for the next harvest. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
This is Charlton Doki in Juba, where South Sudan officials welcome the six-month extension of UNMISS, even though they are disappointed that strengthening government is no longer a part of the mandate. And they would have preferred it was extended for a year, as in the past, not just 6 months. South Sudan's Foreign Affairs Ministry spokesman, Ambassador Mawien Makol Arik, says the Security Council's decision to renew the UNMISS mandate is in line with Juba's position that the UN mission still has a role to play in South Sudan.
The government will support UN in helping our people here for that 6 months. Of course, the United Nations is crucial here in staying in South Sudan because it is still a need here in South Sudan to help people.
Asked what role the government expects UNMISS to play over the next 6 months, Arik had this to say.
The United Nations mission in South Sudan has to go on with the normal work that they have been here doing, which is to go to the affected areas, protect the civil populations, helps on humanitarian assistance.
After the fighting broke out in December, some government officials accused unnamed UNMISS officials of aiding anti-government forces, an accusation that UNMISS strongly denies. Government and top UN officials, including UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who recently visited South Sudan, say after several discussions between government and UN officials, tensions have been reduced and relations have been normalized. Arik says the South Sudan government has formed a committee to review the UNMISS mandate in South Sudan.
The committee is doing absolutely hard work to make sure that the government and the United Nations are in one page as regard to the renewal of the mandate. And I think we are a part of the United Nations. We have obligation to renew the mandate of the UN, of course. Though there are some reservations and all these things, but this doesn't make the UN stay here in South Sudan invalid.
Arik says when the mission's mandate expires in November, the government will ask for a one-year extension. UNMISS spokesperson Ariane Quintea says the responsibilities of most civilian staff will be streamlined to reflect the priorities of the new mandate. She says they will work to protect civilians, document human rights abuses, and assist the delivery of humanitarian assistance. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
Regional mediators arrived in Juba this afternoon to meet with President Salva Kiir and other leaders. The mediators are briefing both parties in the conflict about the current status of the talks in Addis Ababa, which are scheduled to start next week. Philip Aleu has the story for VOA from Juba.
Mohamed Hamed Mustafa is one of the three mediators to the ongoing talks organized by the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, ODIGAD. He says they are determined to make sure that lasting peace comes to South Sudan.
We are not going to stop. We will continue and we will use all efforts that we can so as to reach a final peace and stability in South Sudan.
Mustafa says they have heard what activists and observers have been saying and are now today the upcoming round of peace talks will include delegates from civil society organizations, choice leaders, and other South Sudan groups, along with the two main parties to the conflict. He says 11 former political detainees will also be included in the talks. The government had previously objected the inclusion of the detainees who had been accused of attempting to overthrow the government. All 11 denied the charge, and the government eventually dropped the case. Mustafa says IGAD continues to monitor the ceasefire signed earlier this month by President Salva Kiir and opposition leader Riek Machar. He says IGAD teams will be deployed to South Sudan to monitor the situation from the ground soon, but it's not certain when that will happen.
We are running after as soon as possible. I cannot say any day because I'm not quite sure when it will be here, but maybe within the coming June, we will try our utmost effort so as to bring these forces here.
Mustafa says IGAD can still effectively monitor the situation without going into the field. He says he is here to brief President Salva Kiir and members of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs about what to expect at the new round of talks in Addis Ababa, scheduled to get underway on Monday. For BOA News, I'm Philip Thonaleu in Juba.
Two leading opposition parties merged today to become a strong political force in Juba. Officials say the merger between South Sudan Democratic Forum Mainstream and the Sudan People's Liberation Movement for Democratic Change is the first of its kind since South Sudan became an independent state. Mungume Debs Rakarinj has more for VOA from Juba.
Sudan People's Liberation Movement for Democratic Change, head of political affairs, Peter Adrok, made the announcement today.
Acknowledging the will of the two parties, SPLMDC and SSDFM, recognizing the strength is in unity, conscious of the need for economic and social development of our people, committed to the rule of law, human rights, unity in diversity, and forging consensus for national building.
Mario Awet, SSDFM Secretary General, says they merged with the SPLMDC in order to have a stronger voice in driving the national agenda.
Even in business, the companies, even big companies, they merge to be more stronger. Not because there is weak and there is strong, but people, they can merge to give better service.
Awet says they have more than 10,000 registered party members, but no elected members of parliament. He says SPLMDC is much larger with 9 MPs, though neither rivals the ruling SPLM party, which has the bulk of the members. He says even though they are losing their name, the SSDFM is not losing its core mission by joining the SPLMDC.
Our ideas and objectives will not die there. We'll work as a team. We'll target the needed urgent thing for the people of South Sudan. Like at the moment, the country is at war, is at chaos. So the priority now is to bring peace into the country and then look into other avenues.
President Salva Kiir appointed SPLMDC Lam Akol to be one of the representatives on the government side, even though he's not officially a member of the government. At the time, Kiir said he wanted to have a variety of voices on the negotiating team. Awet says some of their other goals include fighting tribalism and corruption, and to equally distribute resources, including oil revenue. SPLMDC Party Secretary General Deng Bior Deng welcomed the new additions.
To achieve democracy in the country is flexibility. And then the idea of reaching a consensus on the ideas of the country, how the country should go forward. When these ideas come together, then there will be no reason for parties not to merge. Because the idea is not that each party will struggle in order to get power.
Deng says the parties will meet in the coming weeks to elect new leadership. Though officials say they expect Lam Akol to retain his position as party chairman. For VOA News, I am Gumedev Surakarinj in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Spoiled or contaminated food poses a serious health hazard, particularly for children and the elderly. The World Health Organization reports that thousands of Africans die every day from food-related diseases. Experts suggest these steps to help protect you and your family. Before preparing food, it's very important to wash your hands. This can prevent most cases of food poisoning. Only cook with fresh meat and fish. To avoid the spread of harmful bacteria, never prepare raw meat or fish on the same board or surface used to prepare vegetables or grain. Make sure meat, fish, and eggs are cooked thoroughly. Store leftover foods in covered containers in a cool location out of the sun. Do not consume food that smells rotten or contains mold or other impurities.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, the African Union takes on the problem of child marriages. Stay tuned.
For all the latest in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday, from 1630 to 1700 UTC. You can email us at southsudan@voanews.com. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. Or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
is it okay for young people to argue with their parents?
Basically, it is not good for the parent to argue with the children. Because why am I saying this one? When you make argument with the kids, then you get to know what you are always arguing and him know more about, it will be hard to force him to do something.
In traditional belief, each and every country in the world, it has its own belief or cultural belief, okay? Yeah, in a country like South Sudan, it cannot happen a child can argue with the parent. Yeah, in some extent, we cannot agree on that issue. It cannot happen there.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. In a majority of African countries, including South Sudan, at least 30% of girls are married before age 18, often against their will. Mata Vandewolf reports from Addis Ababa. The rate has prompted the African Union to launch a 2-year campaign to end child marriage in Africa.
14 million girls below the age of 18 are forced into marriage each year by their parents in developing countries. Most of these countries are in Africa. Zanabu is a 16-year-old girl from Niger. She says that she was taken out of school by her parents to get married, but her husband would beat her if she didn't want him to touch her. She ran away to her parents, but they would also beat her and return her to the husband. She says she eventually ran away to an aunt and wants to go back to school. Girls married at a young age often have mental anguish, suffer health problems due to early pregnancies, and are less likely to get an education. Most of them come from poorly educated families and rural areas where girls cannot oppose the cultural norms of the family and community. The African Union campaign to end child marriage is focused on policy action and raising continental awareness. The director of the AU Social Affairs Commission, Olawe Megun, says member states of the AU should follow and implement legal frameworks that protect children.
The Charter on the Rights of the Child, for example, has clear provisions on harmful practices against the child. And it's clear in the provisions of the Charter, culture or religious or whatever should not be an excuse, and the states must take measures to eliminate them. People use all sorts of excuses to perpetuate what they're doing, but it's not an excuse as far as the Commission is concerned.
Among African countries, child marriage rates are highest in Niger and Chad, with rates above 70%. In Zambia, the rate is 42%. 10 government ministries, including health, education and legal affairs, are working together to bring that rate down. Zambian Minister of Chiefs and Traditional Affairs, Nkandu Luyo, says traditional chiefs are also trying to change the cultural norm about child marriage in the country.
The reason we felt that the chiefs should be the ones is because it hinges on customary law, and there's also a belief that it is to do with our cultures. When any parent is reported to the chief, first of all, they appear before the chief, because there's the traditional court. So they appear before the traditional court and they are charged according to the decision by the traditional court. But they also make sure they go and take that child out of marriage and put her back into school.
The End Child Marriage campaign of the AU is done in cooperation with African governments, UNICEF and civil society organizations. Marta van der Wolf for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
Along with early marriages, many African countries face another chronic problem, lack of health care. The medical aid group Doctors Without Borders is calling for urgent assistance for thousands of refugees from the Central African Republic facing a catastrophic health situation in Cameroon. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Doctors Without Borders, or Médecins Sans Frontières, says refugees arriving in Cameroon are in a much worse state than those who fled to the country a few months ago. They are exhausted, sick, and traumatized after having walked for weeks or months, fleeing violence and staving off attacks by armed gangs. MSF says 6 out of 10,000 children under 5 are dying every day, a mortality rate well above the emergency threshold. Program manager for Cameroon, Christine Jamet, who recently visited the region, says more than 40%, or nearly one child in two, is suffering from acute malnutrition.
What is particularly striking is the fact that it touches much more children between 5 and 10 years. Usually when you have a malnutrition situation, it's the children less than 5 that are affected. But here in this situation, we can see children above 5, up to 10, up to 12 years old. We can see adult, we can see pregnant women, lactating women who are malnourished, which shows that it's a general malnutrition situation.
Jamais says MSF is focusing on treating the more than 1,000 severely malnourished and 1,500 moderately malnourished children who have been admitted to the therapeutic feeding programs. MSF has 25 expatriate and 315 national staff working in Cameroon. The group is located at two main entry points along the border at Garoua Boulay and Gabiti. The agency notes relief is mainly organized to help refugees who are gathered in large numbers and in camps. It says those who are not registered or are scattered in small pockets are overlooked and do not get assistance. The United Nations estimates more than 85,000 people have fled the CAR into Cameroon this year. Jamais says MSF is concentrating on providing shelter, food, water, and other relief to the large numbers of refugees who have not been registered and are still waiting for emergency aid.
We are very scared about malaria. We see an increase of malaria cases. You must know that it's a rainy season at the moment, so with a rainy season, malaria goes on. So it's something that we definitely need to reinforce as well. And of course, we are facing as well a measles epidemic. Like you know, in South Africa, there is a measles epidemic going on. The level of immunization coverage for the population was very low.
MSF has been carrying out measles vaccination campaigns in eastern Cameroon, but Jamais says the constant influx of refugees makes it impossible to contain the outbreak. She says the agency is also increasing its preparations to face a possible cholera outbreak. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. U.S. President Barack Obama is expected to shed more light on his foreign policy goals during a speech today at the U.S. Military Academy in West Point, New York. The president's commencement address to West Point graduates comes a day after Mr. Obama outlined details of his plan for reducing the U.S. force in Afghanistan after the combat mission in the country winds down at the end of this year. Mr. Obama said it is time to turn the page on the last decade when so much U.S. foreign policy was focused on the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. He said 9,800 troops will remain in Afghanistan at the beginning of 2015, and that number will dwindle to less than 1,000 by the time he leaves office in January 2017. Egyptians are wrapping up an election for president, a process extended by a day after fewer than expected took part. Low turnout prompted Egyptian officials to extend the presidential election for a third day today. But even with threats of fines for non-voters, some polls remained largely empty. Egypt's pro-government media urged people to come out, calling those who stayed away traitors. And finally, renowned American poet, author, and rights activist Maya Angelou has died at the age of 86. The author of the celebrated 1969 autobiography, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, died in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Born in St. Louis, Missouri, she spent much of her childhood in Arkansas. After being sexually assaulted as a child, she stopped speaking for 5 years. She worked at many jobs as a waitress, cook, and a streetcar conductor to support herself, but she never lost her passion for the arts, studying music, drama, and dance. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
South Africa's economy is facing the worst performance since the global recession 5 years ago. Most of the decline is blamed on the country's prolonged plutonium mining strike. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
The decline in South Africa's economy follows a nearly 4% growth rate in the last quarter of 2013. However, the platinum mining strike is now in its fifth month. The government has made a new pledge to mediate the labor dispute, saying mining companies have not done enough to address the well-being of workers. David Shapiro, a director at Sasfin Securities, says the strike has been a big drag on the economy.
Platinum today is one of our biggest exports. In fact, certainly exceeds gold. You know, gold production in South Africa has fallen dramatically over the last decade or so, not for any reasons other than we've run out of cheap gold and it's more difficult to get to the gold. So platinum today is a major mineral export.
He describes the strike as a major worry. It's unclear how quickly the mining sector would bounce back once the strike does end.
When we talk about mines, if you keep them closed for that long, there are all kinds of issues, even if labor does come back to work. These are deep underground mines and require a lot of attention, so you can't neglect them. And even if they came back to work, it'll take some time to fire them up again.
Shapiro says local economies are formed where mines are located.
People live around the mines, and of course they earn their income there. They go out and spend it either in entertainment or they buy groceries. So every industry around the mine also starts to suffer as a result.
Many of the miners in South Africa are migrant workers. Mine companies offer them either a housing allowance or actual housing. Shapiro says the decision they make can have long-term financial effects.
A lot of these miners decided to accept a payment, an allowance instead. And what they did is, instead of buying a decent house or renting a decent house, they would send most of the money back home and then rent shacks. And when I say shacks, literally shacks, living in really dire circumstances, terrible conditions, and that started strike action.
Because of the strike, the miners are not being paid and are not able to send any money back home. In addition, there are also tensions between the trade unions representing the miners. And while miners demand higher wages, demand for platinum is currently down. South Africa's economy has also been affected by a slowdown in China's economy. Shapiro says from 2000 to 2010, the country benefited greatly from China's expansion and demand for natural resources such as iron ore, copper, and coal.
Now that China's slowing down, emerging countries such as South Africa, who are major exporters of minerals, are also starting to feel the pinch. So that's contributed as well.
Three mining companies are negotiating with AMCU, the Association of Mine Workers and Construction Union. However, little progress has been made so far regarding a pay hike. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song Salam Ya Sudan by Victoria Ole. Listening to Victoria Ole and her song Salam Ya Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and cars. Be sure to tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.